Tonight, if you have your Bible, turn with us to the book of the Revelation, chapter number 1. The book of the Revelation, chapter number 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. You know that special blessing for you here tonight? Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. He said, the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, from the seven spirits which are before his throne, from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, and unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. You know why he throwed that even so, amen, in there? Because he ain't going to change his calendar for nobody. He's coming just like he said. The Bible says he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. Hey, let me tell you, you better be getting yourself ready for his coming. He's coming for his own one of these days. He said, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that's called Patmos for the word of God, and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That's a good thing to be, ain't it? I tell you, it's good to be in the Spirit on a Wednesday night. It's good to be in the Spirit 7 days a week. It'll help you. Said, I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest write in the book, and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia. Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. And his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice as a sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars out of his mouth, went a sharp two-edged sword. His countenance was as a sun shineth in his strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I'm he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I like this right here. I'm alive forevermore, amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. You can be seated tonight. Book of Revelation. I didn't say revelations. It is a book of revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot takes place in this book. But the very first verse in it tells us what it's all about. The Bible itself is a book of beginnings. As you go back to Genesis, you follow it all the way through to Revelation, you'll see it's a book of the end. He tells us some things in this book right here that helps us to realize that, boy, this world's in a mess and it's going to get worse. But thank God that He's coming to get His church out of this thing before the great tribulation period is ushered in. Now notice He said, for the time is at hand. In other words, you better watch out. You better take notice. You better not be a sleeping friend. You better get in the Word of God and realize that our redemption is a drawing nigh tonight. Oh, this revelation, friend, it's an unveiling of the glorified Christ. You see, Christ, when He first came into this world, He came meek and lowly, born in a manger, came through the womb of a virgin. He lived the son of a carpenter. How the Bible says He made of Himself no reputation, but He took upon Himself the form of a servant, made in the likeness of a man. And He found in that fashion, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But oh, now, as John's in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, oh, it's a different story now. Hey, let me tell you something. He ain't a little meek and lowly son of a carpenter now. He's the glorified Christ, friend. As we saw Him over here in the latter part of that, friend. Oh, His eyes are like fire, friend. Out of His mouth goes a two-edged sword. Oh, His countenance is like that of a burning furnace, friend. And one day we're all going to stand before Him. Oh, listen to me. You better bow your knee before Him in this life, friend, and accept Him as Lord and Savior of your life, friend. Oh, you don't want to have to stand before Him one day as judge and have Him say, depart from me, and be cast into the lake of fire with the devil and his angels. Oh, listen to me. Listen to me. Oh, this revelation tells us He's a-fixing to complete His work. He's about to finish it up. His eternal kingdom is going to be ushered in one of these days real soon. You'll notice, friend, in this passage that I read in verse number 5 right here, you'll find He's a faithful witness. Oh, listen here, you ain't got to question anything He said. You ain't even got to question the commas and the periods and the capitals through this Bible right here, friend. They're all in there just exactly like He said them, friend. Oh, He's a faithful witness. He is the first begotten of the dead. He's the first one to come out of the grave to never have to die again. Hey, let me tell you something, friend. There'll never be wicked men to lay hands on our Lord again. They'll never take Him and mock Him and spit in His face. They'll never crown Him again with a crown of thorns, friend. He's the glorified Christ, friend. He's the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace tonight. Oh, He'll never, never, never have to lay down His life again. He says right here, He is the Prince of the Kings. He says right here, He's the one that loved us. Says right here, He's the one that washed us from our sins in His own blood. He's the one that has made us kings and priests unto God and the Father. He's the one whose dominion is forever and ever. And I love verse 7. He's the one that's coming again one of these days. Oh, I'm glad He come to me one day here. Ain't you glad He come to you one day? Ain't you glad you ain't got to wonder? Oh, when He comes again, I'm glad I'm ready for that glorious day when He appears. Listen to me now. I'm listening for the shout tonight. He ain't going to set foot back on this earth when he comes after His children tonight. Let me tell you, he's going to call us up into the air. We're going to meet Him in the clouds, friend. Those that are dead in the graveyards, them graves are going to open up. They're coming out of the graves. We're going to meet them in the air, and we're going home. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I want you to look just a few minutes right here in verse number 8. He said, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. And I guess tonight I may not preach anything you don't already know. But I just want to remind you tonight of some things that's in between the beginning and the end. Some things that's in between the beginning and the end. And can I tell you, friend, from Genesis 1 and 1 over to Revelation 22, it's all about Him. That's why God give us this Bible right here. To point us toward Christ. That's why God give us this Bible right here. To show us that we better be getting ourselves ready for His coming again one of these days. First of all, I want you to notice He says, He is the one which is. I'm glad He is today. I'm glad He didn't just used to be. I know my Redeemer lives today. I know He lives today. I have no doubt that my Redeemer lives today. Hey, He lives in my heart. Hey, I'm feeling His fullness right now. Hey, I'm telling you, He's running my cup over right now. He's the one which is. Let's look around at this present look at Him today. He said in verse number 18 over here, I'm He that liveth and was dead. Was dead. Hey, He stood there glorified as the glory when He had before He came to this world. He said, I was dead. And I like what He went on and said. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Evermore. Listen to me, friend. Listen to me, friend. He is the faithful witness. Matter of fact, He amened Himself right there. He said, amen. Can you say amen tonight? He's alive forevermore. Amen. And He's going to fulfill His word just like He's got it wrote down right here. And I'm glad He's got the keys of hell and death. And I'm glad He's willing tonight to share them keys with anybody that wants it. What a Savior that we've got. Oh, He's the one which is alive. And notice this, He's the one which is almighty. Oh, notice back there in that text verse, He said, which is, which was, which is to come, not a almighty, not one of the almighties, but He said, the almighty. The almighty. There is no God beside Him. You can look over in the book of Isaiah. He said, there is no God beside me. No, I know not any. None. Nern. Ain't nern. Yeah, man. And these folks around the world are crazy. Got some little statue that they worship. Eyes that can't see. Ears that can't hear. A mouth that can't speak. Hands that can't even move. Feet that can't even walk. And yet they're crazy enough to bow down to them and worship them. Oh, let me tell you something, friend. Oh, people just realized how precious, how valuable this book is right here. The way of life is in this book. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the Almighty. And I like what Isaiah said over there. Said He measured out the waters of this old world in the hollow of His hand. You think we got a big God tonight? We got a big God. He's Almighty. Did I tell you He's Almighty? Hey, let me tell you something. He ain't worried about this old world today, the things that's going on. He ain't worried about North Korea getting a nuclear bomb. He ain't worried about Iran getting a nuclear bomb. He ain't wringing his hand. He's Almighty God, and everything is going right on schedule just like He's ordering it. He's Almighty. He said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and everything in between. Can I tell you something, what He's saying? He's saying, I've always been. I always will be. And can I tell you tonight, He's always been God. And He'll always be God. He ain't going to take second place to Muhammad. He ain't going to take second place to Buddha or any other pagan's God this world can come up with, friend. He's always been God. He always will be God. He didn't get voted in. He won't get voted out. He ain't going to resign. He's always been God, and He always will be. He said, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, eternity past, eternity future, and everything that's in between. He's Almighty God. He said, He's the Amen. In chapter number 3, verse number 14, He said unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, that's you and I. That's the church age that we're in. Now listen to me. The messages to these seven churches represent seven church ages that you can go down through history and follow. We're in the last church age. There's no Bible scholars that can deny that. None. We're in the latter days. He shows us a picture of the church right here, that the time that we're living in, friend. It's a church, friend, that says they have need of nothing. Amen. Because we got everything, haven't we? Lord, if we just get the things of the world, friend, and we turn that junk into our God, friend, and then church just becomes a little religious practice to us. But He said, I know all about it. He said, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write these things, saith the Amen. The faithful and true witness. The faithful and true witness. He's never told a lie. He's never told an untruth. Everything that God has said in this book right here, you might as well just go ahead and take it to the bank. Take it to the bank. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. I'm glad I'm hid in Him. I'm glad I've got a copy of it. This old King James Bible. No wonder the devil don't like it. No wonder he's got people out here trying to change the words of it. He's the faithful and true witness. He is the Amen. He's the one which is. But he said, He's the one which was. And that's something we ought not to ever forget in our life. How the Lord Jesus Christ laid down His crown in heaven, came into this world. Can I say that He was the one that created this whole thing? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's it. Hey, I saw on Channel 7 the other day, some little old nerdy looking scientist, he had him a rock from an asteroid. And he was describing this thing that was made up and how it was melted. And he said, this thing is 465 million years old. And I said, well, why wasn't it 466 million years old? Or 463 million? Was it dated somewhere or something? You know, that's a long ways to have to go back and date something, ain't it? Maybe, I don't know. 465 million years old. It came from a great explosion. Now, all this junk out in space, blah, 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 blah. In the beginning, God. That's it. Listen, there ain't a whole lot in this Bible that speaks about creation. I mean, you just take God at His word for what He's saying. He ain't trying to convince you of creation. He's trying to convince you of Christ. We need Christ. This world needs Christ. He was the creating one. He made the heavens and the earth and man upon it. He done it all with His voice. Spoke it into existence. He didn't have to have no big bang. Matter of fact, it might have been so quiet you could hear a pin drop. Except for His voice. His voice is like a sound of mighty waters. But He spoke it into existence. And you can read it over there in Genesis chapter number 1. He's the creating one. And He was the condescending one. I'm talking about He was God Almighty in glory. And He took off His crown of glory. And He came into this world and was made in the likeness of a man. And the Bible says that He was made flesh and He walked among men. Let me tell you, He was a condescending one. The Bible tells us over in Galatians, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that was under the law. And that was you, and that was me. We were under the law. And you know what the law said about you and about me? The law said we was guilty. The law said we was worthy of death. The law said we couldn't get to God. But He came, friend, to fulfill the law. He came to go to Calvary's cross and to die on Calvary's cross and to reach to God and to reach to us and to reconcile us back to God. Oh, He's the condescending one. He left heaven, came here, oh, to bring us to God. Not only was He was the creating one, He was the condescending one, but He was the caring one. You know what's amazing to me? You know, I could sort of understand if there was a whole lot of good people down here that needed salvation. I could understand. You know, I could probably pick out some people that I think's pretty good people. But you know what He said about these good folks that we like to put on a pedestal? He said that there is none good. None good. No, not one that's good. But yet He was willing to leave the glories of heaven and come into this world, not just to bring salvation to us, but to suffer for us and to have our sins laid upon Him. And listen to me, friend. He paid it all. All to Him we owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but He washed it white as snow. I'm glad He was the caring one. The Bible says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. He gave His Son for the likes of me. I don't understand that. You know what? I could watch the news. In 15 minutes, I'd find me somebody I wouldn't give you 2 cents for. I wouldn't give my dog for them. I wouldn't. But God looked at us with love. We didn't deserve it. You didn't merit God's love. You didn't merit it. But He loved us. And He sent forth His Son to come pay a debt that we couldn't pay. A debt that we owed. A debt that was going to take us to a devil's hell. And He came He was the caring one. He walked through this life doing good. Doing good and warning folks to get ready. Not only was He the creating one, the condescending one, the caring one, but He was the crucified one. Crucified. Jesus was made a curse for you and for me. Made a curse. He came, friend, to His own, and His own received Him not. They mocked Him. They rejected Him. Although He walked through their streets and through their cities doing nothing but good, they brought the lame to Him and he healed them. They brought the blind to Him. He gave them the sight back. Hey, the lepers came to Him and He cleansed them. There was nothing that ever came to Him that needed help that He didn't help them. And yet they rejected Him. They took Him. They beat Him. They beat Him. They bruised Him. They hit Him with the palms of their hands. They slapped Him. They spit in His face. They beat Him with that cat of nine tails. When they got through with Him, the Bible says that His visage, or to look upon Him, He was beaten. He was marred more than any man. And He could have called 10,000 angels. And He could have wiped His hands of me and you. And He could have went back to heaven and destroyed it all. But He loved us enough to be the crucified one. He was the only hope we had. There's no other name given under heaven among men whereby we might be saved. Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. Oh, He was lonely in His death. When He hung on Calvary's cross, beaten, bruised, belittled, He cried, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You know what he's seen? He didn't just see them folks around the cross that day. But He looked down through the ages. He looked up here in this pool room. He looked over in the bar room. And He saw me there. And He said, "I'm a dying for Him, God. Oh, God. We owe Him so much. Oh, we'll never be able to repay Him for what He done for us." He was a crucified one. Because He loved us, He wanted to pay our sin debt. And He withstood everything that hell could throw at Him and try to deter Him. But He set His face like a flint, the Bible said, towards Jerusalem. He went there to go to the cross. He went there to die on the cross. He went there to win victory for you and me. They nailed Him to a cross. There on the cross, He gave up the ghost. Oh, His mama was at the foot of the cross. People was a mourning that day. Looked like all hope was gone. Joseph of Arimathea came and begged His body. Took Him down and wrapped Him in grave clothes. Carried Him to His own tomb. Laid Him in there. The Bible says they rolled a great stone over the door. I'm glad that ain't the end of the story. Hallelujah. Hey, He said, "No man takes my life from me." He said, "I'm laying it down. If I lay it down, I have the power to take it again." I'm glad when they got there on resurrection morning, the stone was rolled away. And I'm glad when they looked in there, the tomb was empty. Hey, I'm glad He is the one which was crucified. But can I tell you, He's the one that got up out of the grave. And He's alive today. Well, I'm telling you, He's a conquering one. He conquered death for you and I. Hey, He conquered hell for you and me. He conquered the grave for you and me. I want to tell you something, friend. For a child of God to close his eyes in death, for a child of God to draw his last breath, when the heart beats the last time, friend, there'll be angels, I believe, together around, and they usher you into the presence of God, friend. There ain't no purgatory. There ain't no grave sleep, friend. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I believe the Word of God, don't you? Which is a present look, which was a past look. But like this, I like this. He said, which is to come. Which is to come. You know how close I believe He is to coming back? As close as I am to hitting this next step. Read the Word of God. Read the Word of God. Read Luke 21. Read over in Matthew 24. Hey, listen, friend. It's like He's at the door about to turn that knob and come in. He's coming. Ain't no need to doubt Him now. Hey, this thing right here stood true. It's true. Nobody ever proved this thing wrong. Never will. He's coming again just like He said. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 22. You ever read a book and get to the last chapter? Realize, well, I just about come to the end. God sent Him into the world. He fulfilled God's will. Now it's up to man to accept what He's done for him. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. If we die in our state, sinful state without Christ, without accepting Him, hell will be our home. But I love this. He said, He's the one which is to come. Listen now, this is a future look. But I don't believe we're looking very far out in the future. And just before the end, He's coming to take His church out of this world. Before the great day of the tribulation comes in. In Revelation 22, I want you to notice final words, final warning, and a final welcome. Look at what the Bible says in Revelation 22. Jesus speaking. Now these words are written in red. These are the words of Christ. In verse 7, He said, Behold! He said, Behold! He said, Behold, take notice, listen to me, it's urgent. I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Verse 10, John says, For the time is at hand. Verse 12, look at this. Jesus, the words in red says, And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. That's a warning. And then again, in verse 20, next to the very last verse that God gives us in His Bible, says he which testifieth these things saith, surely, truly, I come quickly. You know how quick he's going to come? He ain't going to dial your cell phone and say, I'm coming tomorrow. He ain't going to run an ad in the newspaper one day. He ain't going to run a broadcast on the radio. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, blink your eyes. That's how fast it's going to be. One of these days, this world's going to blink its eyes and we're going to be gone. As quick as you can snap your fingers, friend, the church is getting out of this world. I got Bible for that. But I like this. His final words. You know, a man's final words means a lot. He gives us the final words for this Bible right here. And it's all about His coming again. And it amazes me how man, woman, boy or girl can dull their ears to the Word of God and say, no, I'll take my chances. You'll wind up in hell. You'll wind up in hell. Because you're going to lose, friend. You've heard the gospel. If you harden your heart to it, friend, you condemn yourself. You condemn yourself. His final words, His final warning. One of these days, friend, the door's going to shut. It's going to shut. Just like over in Matthew 25. Those foolish virgins, the bridegroom came. They that were wise went out to meet Him. And the door was shut. Folks going to want in after that, but it's going to be too late. But I'll tell you how wonderful our Savior is. Not only the final words, the final warning, but the final welcome. Look in verse 17. The Spirit and the bride say, come. That's why we preach the gospel. That's why the Holy Ghost had us give us this Bible right here under inspiration. That's why preachers are compelled to preach the gospel, friend, because the Spirit and the bride of Christ is begging the world to come and to get what we've got, the free gift of eternal life. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. I'm glad I got thirsty one day. I'm glad I got tired of drinking this world's junk one day. I got me a good drink of living water. And I ain't never thirsted again. And he said, let him that's athirst come. And look at this. And whosoever will. Boy, that's amazing, ain't it? It's amazing to me that God would look down in this wicked and vile world that we live today. All the Christ rejecters, the God haters, the child molesters, all the wickedness that's going on in this world today. And yet God says, let whosoever will come and take of the water of life freely, because He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, because He knows what awaits man, a devil's hell, where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, day and night, eternal darkness forever and ever and ever and ever. What grace. What grace. What grace. Come. 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 Three times in verse 17. Come. Come. Stand with me around this house.